You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, people? My bar podcast folks, welcome back, man, to another episode, another Tuesday in the building with your boy. This is a throwback episode. We're going back to 2020, and this is, man, this brother here, man, I really got so much love and respect for Chris Roseboro, man. His videos were super helpful for me and my just transitioning out of a lot of bad doctrine, and so I was crazy humbled to be able to have him on the show. He actually had me on his YouTube channel. I did the prophecy bingo. If you're familiar with that, make sure you look that up on YouTube. But yeah, man, big shout out to Chris, man, and his son, Josh, man. Those are some awesome guys that really got a love, man, for God's word, and they protect it at all costs. If it means picking on some of the famous pastors and so-called prophets and evangelists, they'll do it, man. And so it was such a great honor to have Chris on the show. I know you're going to enjoy it, man. So, hey, I also want to give you a heads up. I'm actually going to have a guest host. That's right. There's going to be a guest host on the Bar Podcast. Shout out to my man, David from Exposit the Word. You guys know I've been crazy busy lately. And so David reached out and offered to be a guest host, man. And I was super excited about that. So shout out to David, man. I don't know if it's going to be after this episode, but be on the lookout for it. When you hear the sweet British, UK, whatever his accent is, when you hear that, you know it's not your boy. You know it's not me. But you have not tuned into the wrong channel, man. David is doing me a big favor and help hosting the Bar Podcast, man. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yo, welcome to the bar. Come on and pull up a seat and open up your Bible. What a wonderful feast. The living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities and the burbs, and every person we meet. This is where we tell us worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. This is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. And this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah, welcome to the modern reformation. Yeah,
the bar, biblical and reformed.
Welcome everybody to the bar. It's your boy Dwayne in the building, right back in here another Tuesday. Super excited as always to be coming through your speakers, through your earbuds, wherever you listen to the bar. We're grateful that you're listening, and I love to start every show off by thanking the listeners. Appreciate you guys being just who you are, man. Buying bar gear, subscribing to the page, writing reviews. You just do an awesome job, and I really appreciate that. This makes this fun, that makes this enjoyable, even when I feel down or I'm like, man, I got to upload another one. But I remember you great listeners, and I really appreciate you guys doing that. And like I do every Tuesday, I bring you an awesome guest. This guest I've been watching for a while. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while, and I had to pull a few big dog strings to make it happen. But we have on today none other than my brother, Chris Roseboro. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to have you on the show. Super excited. And so I had, I called, some people call him their favorite Lutheran on my show last week. And I said, well, my favorite Lutheran is Chris. So you gotta come really hard to take Chris' place, man. So I'm excited to have you, that finally my listeners can hear my favorite Lutheran. But Chris, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to my listeners.
Sure. I am Pastor Chris Roseborough. I am a Lutheran pastor, a confessional Lutheran pastor. Sometimes people go, oh, you're a Lutheran. That means you are like for, you know, gay marriage and women's ordination. Yeah, no. So those people, we call them Lutherans in name only. So, yeah, that's a strange breed of Lutheran. But yes, I'm a confessional Lutheran pastor. I pastor Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, don't you know? And I'm also I also do a YouTube channel called Fighting for the Faith. And we've put our podcast not on ice forever, but we're kind of reworking it, retooling it, how it's going to work. So I did a podcast called Fighting for the Faith for the better part of 12 years. And so we've migrated over to YouTube, and now we're trying to figure out what to do with the podcast, because it's still a powerful medium. But the work that goes into creating the podcast has been, let's just say, challenging as my pastoral responsibilities have increased. So.
Right. I can imagine that. I remember you telling me that when we were able to talk briefly on the phone. So let's start with the pastoring side. Like I told you, I like to do what we call a local pastor spotlight. And you mentioned like how, I guess, how often you have to minister. Let's just talk about, you know, a day in the life of Pastor Chris. You know, what does that look like? What's your congregation dynamic, and maybe even some of the challenges with it?
Okay, so my initial call is to Kongsvinger Lutheran Church. It's in rural Oslo, Minnesota. On any given Sunday, maybe 35 people, on a good Sunday, over 40. And so it's a small congregation. But then on top of that, I'm also the interim pastor at another church, a confessional Lutheran church in Radium, Minnesota. And the name of that is Emmanuel Lutheran Church. That's a church that's in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And then I also spend my Saturdays doing work with a group called the Aletheia Lutheran International Evangelical Synod, and helping them with their church planting, and they're trying to leverage internet technologies as it relates to that. So my weekends, Saturday, Sunday, are completely slammed, is the best way. So pretty much starting at like 6 a.m. on Saturday, I don't get to breathe again until roughly 5 o'clock on Sunday night.
Wow.
So then along with that, you know, you have people who want to meet with you for the purpose of, you know, counseling or needing pastoral care. So I go and visit my shut-ins, bring them the word and sacrament. And then and on top of that, you still have to stay in the word, you know. And so there's this really funny thing that people think that pastors like only work 1 hour a day. Man, I wish. You know, so yeah, to the untrained observer, that's how that looks. So aside from my pastoral responsibilities, then obviously you have to do sermon prep. I'm a firm believer that you need to, whatever text you're working on, you need to have a rough translation of that text so that you're rightly handling God's word. You do not want to mishandle God's word. That is a big no-no, not merely to the congregation, but before God. You don't want to make promises for God that he hasn't made. You don't want to mishandle his word. The whole point of studying and showing yourself approved as a workman who need not blush with embarrassment is so that you can rightly handle the word of truth. That's part of it. And then you got that. I'm also teaching a seminary class online, and then on top of that is Fighting for the Faith, the YouTube channel. So it pretty much I don't really get a lot of downtime. That's a good way to put it.
obviously. Wow. That is amazing. I mean, that is a lot of stuff. I love the joke about the pastor only works 1 hour a week. I'm sure a lot of pastors laughed at that one, because that, you know, that is definitely not the case. And that's amazing, because, you know, I know about, you know, YouTube and how to, you know, do a good production and good quality. And I know when you find a groove, it can become pretty easy, but it still takes time. It takes research that, you know, and all of that. So before we jump into that, just, back up and give me kind of a background or a genesis of Fighting for the Faith. Where did it start?
Why did it start?
Yep.
And all of that good stuff.
Okay. So my original theological training is in Christian apologetics. Mm-hmm. I spent some time in the charismatic movement in a group known as the Latter Rain, which is kind of way out there on the lunatic fringe of the charismatic movement. That's the best way I can put it. My wife and I got swept up into that. Prior to that, we were Nazarenes. And the best way I can summarize it quickly is to say that God was merciful to us. And through the word of God in the mouth of a very devout woman was able to bring us out of the Lateran movement. And when my wife and I came out, we kind of felt so deceived and betrayed by people who were supposed to be teaching us the scriptures and were representatives of Christ. And so rather than abandon Christianity, which was one of the options on the table for us.
Sure.
I basically said to my wife, I said, I think the Bible's true, but I'm pretty convinced we don't know what it says or what it means. Mm. And so that began in earnest a study of the Word of God. Along the way, very shortly after that, I began doing work with a small group of volunteers who basically reached out to Jehovah's Witnesses for the purpose of sharing the gospel with them, doing counter-cult apologetics, found that I really, really enjoyed it. For that, for me, that was not work. That was something, it was a joy to do. So Walter Martin was still alive at the time, and I contacted him and had the opportunity to have a brief conversation with him, told him that, I really wanted to pursue this. He told me to, pack everything up. My wife and I had, were in Seattle at the time, and moved back to Southern California, and we did. And I studied apologetics under Dr. Rod Rosenblatt at Christ College Irvine. That's kind of the foundation there. And Walter Martin told me to do that. Now, he died before we got there. But so that started me on this journey. And one of the things that I was exposed to for the first time with the Lutherans was the proper distinction of what's called the law and the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so as a Nazarene, it was all law, la, 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 la. And and always what you have to do, and rarely, if ever, did you hear what Christ has done for you. So there was an imbalance. And where you're preaching and teaching that you're receiving is all law focused, it has a tendency to send people into kind of three different directions. One of those directions is utter despair, I'm not pulling this off. The other direction is like self-righteousness, I'm better than you are. And the whole thing is just a complete facade because you're a fraud, in the whole self-righteous scheme. And what it does is it sets up this two-tiered Christianity, the Christians who glow in the dark, who somehow are super holy, and then trying to figure out how the other group is pulling it off. And so that's one of the directions, or you get into some kind of weird mysticism to kind of pull it off. And that's where my wife and I ended up in the charismatic movement. But all that being said, hearing law and gospel for the first time, I had never heard from seventh grade to, my early college career, had never heard the gospel preached to me as a Christian. And it blew my mind, and I was very skeptical of it at first and couldn't believe that it was, that the Bible taught that we are saved by grace through faith alone, apart from works. This is all the work of God. Didn't believe it at all, was very skeptical of it, thought that if somebody believed this, that they would turn it into a license to sin. And, and Dr. Rod Rosenblatt was the guy who kept hammering this in each of the classes that I took from him. I remember one time going up to him after class and, saying, Dr. Rosenblatt, if what you're saying is true, that, that I'm saved totally by what Christ has done, then you're saying I can do whatever I want. And I thought that this would be the thing that would expose him.
Right, right.
That he is. So he says, well, of course, Chris, he says, now that Christ has set you free from slavery to sin, death, and the devil, what do you want to do?
Nice.
So the long story short, I came kicking and screaming into Lutheranism. But after that, I had a real heart to reach out to people who I knew were struggling with the same, same self-righteousness, the same hypocrisy that I you know, was, you know, experienced. And so as a Lutheran, this is going to sound weird, I got a teaching gig at a Baptist church. I don't ask how that came across. My Lutheran pastor knew that that they had asked me to come and teach, and he said, "Yeah, that's really subversive. Go for it. They won't let you stay there very long, but you know, they let me stay for a few years." But that's the way I could put it. But all of that being said, one of the things I noticed, I really enjoyed Christian radio and, you know, Christian talk radio in particular. And so really kind of starting at the end of the 90s, early on into the 2000s, there was like a noticeable switch from talk radio content that was theological, biblically robust, thought-provoking, challenging, to stuff that was really kind of, well, lacking any meat whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And it was noticeable. It was, you know, one program would disappear and another would take its place. It was like, you know, theology Bible Hour is now replaced with, you know, Cooking with Karen. And it's like... here. And so at that time I thought, you know what, I began writing a blog in the mid 2000s and thought, you know, maybe there's a way to translate this into, you know, something that would be along the lines of a radio program or something like that. Podcasting hadn't really taken off as any kind of a thing yet, although, you know, it was around that time that the iPod came out, and that was kind of changing everything, and as far as how people were consuming their talk radio. So I put together a pilot for a program called Fighting for the Faith. And at the time I was a corporate executive, and I called one of the major Christian radio stations that was part of a broad national network, shall we say, and one of the executives was more than happy to sit down and talk with me about my ideas, and so took him to lunch, sat him down, played a few samples of my program, talked to him about what my ideas were for Fighting for the Faith, and we didn't get too far into the conversation, and he says, "No, Becky wouldn't like that." And said, "Becky, who's Becky?" So he said, "Well, Becky is our target audience." And I said, "What?" He says, "Yeah, Becky is a married female. She's between 29 and 31 years old. She has 2.4 kids, and she needs stuff that's more practical and relevant to her life. And she really doesn't like theological content and or biblical conflict and stuff like that." And so, you know, and he said, "Now we'd be willing to, you know, to play your program, but you're never going to make any money at it. It's going to cost you a lot of money to broadcast it and stuff like that." They were always willing to do that. And I was kind of upset after my lunch.
Oh, sure.
And so it was then that I started to think about a different idea. So streaming radio stations and podcasting were still fairly new, but I basically licked my pencil and wrote out a business plan to launch my own radio station called Pirate Christian Radio. And the reason why it was called Pirate, because I would, you know, a pirate station is one that it broadcasts outside. Established, a thing. And so that's how this all came about.
Wow.
And the name Pirate Christian Radio is a protest against what has become, radio, Christian radio, as opposed to what it used to be in the 90s, you know, and then the early 2000s. So,
wow. That is awesome. I appreciate you walking through that journey, man. That is amazing. I don't know if we talked about this on the phone. I also came out of the charismatic movement, NRA. According to my air quotes, you can't see them. The lineage, C. Peter Wagner, mm-hmm. and
who's the guy? Oh man, I forgot. Chuck Pierce.
Oh wow.
And yeah, that's the stream I was connected to. And Chuck Pierce ordained some apostles in his church, and they ordained me and my wife as apostles a couple years ago. So
wow. So you're a repentant apostle.
I am. I'm a repentant apostle. Yeah, I've actually had the privilege of pretty much telling my whole story on Ms. Doreen's YouTube channel just a few weeks ago. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And that's why your YouTube just it rings so clear. Another funny thing, because I love seeing pastors that I used to, like, I guess, fanboy after, if that makes sense. Yeah, I used to love, you know, because my part of my story is, you know, I grew up an athlete and a musician. And so when I got saved, I thought the best preachers were on TV, like the best athletes and musicians. And so that's what led me to the charismatic movement, was looking at TV and, you know, seeing those guys on TV, thinking that was the highest level. So that's how I got sucked in. But I had to throw out here, man. We're in Greenville, South Carolina. So we attended a church where Ron Carpenter was a pastor. I was on that staff. My wife was on the marketing team. We were there. And then Tavener, I know we always bring up Tavener. Tavener is a Ron Carpenter offspring. So it's always,
Does that not surprise me? Wow.
Yeah.
Theological train wreck. He's got a little bit of Mormonism. He's got a little Steve Furtick. He's got a little Gnosticism and he hates being theologically corrected. That's the best way I can put it. So.
Yeah. No, I know Tavern. I remember when he was the youth, quote unquote, youth pastor there. And when they, you know, trained him up, and he was supposed to be the next big thing before Ron went to California. So, yeah, when I'm seeing that, I love it, because it needs to be exposed. I share it every time I get a chance. And so I definitely wanted to make sure I was able to tell you that and to my listeners, make sure they knew that as well. So, right here, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Thankful Homemaker is a blog and podcast created to be an encouragement and blessing to each other in the role God has called us to as women. Thankful Homemaker provides truth-filled, gospel-driven encouragement to homemakers who, amid their ordinary days, desire to honor and glorify God in all things. Come visit thankfulhomemaker.com for the latest articles and podcasts. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or on your favorite podcast catcher. So ladies, pop in your headphones as you're doing dishes, cooking dinner, or folding laundry, and sit with me, host Marcy Farrell, as we chat together on how God's Word impacts everything we do as Christian women.
All right, we're back in here with Pastor Chris Roseborough. And my buddy Lee would get on me if I didn't bring up this question. The second half is usually kind of a lighter, funner, but I mean, the whole thing is kind of light and fun if you ask me. But my buddy Lee Jones wanted me to talk about the photography, man, those beautiful pictures that you be posting and where did that come from? Have you always been into photography, and where did that come from?
Okay, so I took my first photography class when I was in junior high. I learned how to shoot on 35 millimeter cameras in black and white, and used to develop my own photographs. But the problem is that back in the day, well, that was an expensive hobby. And after I got married, we had no money. So the best way I could put it, it wasn't until the early 2000s when I again got a decent camera, and always I've been hobbying in photography, and then when iPhones started putting really good cameras into their thing, I just went hog wild. So best way I could put it. And so this is a hobby that begins back in junior high, and one that I dink with until maybe about 10 years ago, start taking it more seriously and use my iPhone to really kind of teach me how to set up good compositions. But then last year, Pirate Christian Media we decided to upgrade our camera system for the YouTube channel. And so I made sure that the camera that we were using would be able to do double duty, and got myself a really good Nikon DSLR. And now, you know, so I purposely try to spend anywhere from an hour to 2 hours a day purposely working on my photography. For this reason is that the heresy hunting that I do and the stuff that I watch and listen to, it's really, mm-hmm. really dark. And I don't talk about this other part, but I have a tendency to sometimes deal with depression, and I find that heresy hunting just sometimes can send me sideways.
Right.
And so by working on photography, what that does is it puts me into a different side of my brain. And when I'm working artistically like that, I'm able to turn off the heresy hunter for a little bit. And, you know, and so I consider heresy to be the greatest ugliness on the planet, because it is a blaspheming of God's holy name and a twisting of his word. And it's the work of the devil. And it's very dark. Whereas photography allows me to go and hunt for the beauty that is in the world and find a positive way to bring that forward. There's no, it's just the theology of the beauty of God's creation. And so, I purposely am now applying myself to hone skills so that I can bring forth more, professional, looking and beautiful compositions. That's really the idea.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, no. And they are awesome. I love them. And my buddy Lee, like I said, he's a big fan of them. So I had to make sure I asked that. So now to the bar signature questions. These are the three questions I ask all of my guests.
Okay.
And, the first signature bar question is, what kind of music do you listen to?
It depends on the time of the year. Okay. Okay, so in the fall and in the winter, I am a classical music guy. Cold with cooler weather, I just love, you know, so when I'm studying, when I'm working on a sermon, when I'm translating scriptures, I love having classical music in the background. And I don't really have any particular favorite composers. Oftentimes, I'll find myself really looking forward to the weekly update of the A-list classical list that's on Apple Music, and yep. Discovered so many good classical artists that way, and that's like my favorite thing. But then as we start getting into spring and things start to warm up, I go bluegrass, and then in the summer when it's nice and hot and it reminds me of the beach, I go back to the 1980s. So I'm a Duran Duran U2 kind of guy.
Nice. Nice. Good deal. All right. Next signature bar question is, what book or books are you currently reading?
Okay. Let me grab the stack. Hang on a second here. See, I can't read one book at a time.
I know.
I'm currently reading Henry Eyster Jacobs, A Summary of the Christian Faith. I am also looking at James Livingston's Modern Christian Thought. In the heresy category, I'm reading a book called The Apostolic Revolution. And then I'm also working on a thing, I'm working on some historical roots of what's called Lutheran Pietism and its impact on American evangelicalism. So I'm reading Pia Desideria, as well as John Wesley's A Plain Account of Christian Perfectionism. And then, of course, that does not also exclude also the works that I'm reading in the Church Fathers. And right now I am reading the Sermons of Ambrose of Milan, which I find to be just fascinating. So that's kind of what I'm working on as far as my book reading is concerned.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I word that question that way because most people are the same way. They work through several at a time. So I definitely get it. All right. Last signature bar question, and it should be interesting. What podcasts or sermons do you listen to, if any?
Okay. So my favorite podcast for almost two decades now is the Issues Etc. podcast. And pretty much that's the only podcast that I have the time to listen to with all the other work that I'm doing. So that I don't mean to disappoint, but that's kind of where I go to kind of keep a track on current affairs as it relates to the church. And they always have a good way of handling current news stories and things that are happening in the world. So Issues, Etc. is my go-to podcast.
Nice. Yeah, no, that's that makes sense. And that's why I worded that question that way, if any, because a lot of times when you pastor a church, content creator, you don't have a lot of time to consume podcasts. So I totally understand that. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you coming on my show. This has been fun. It's been a blessing. Glad we're finally able to make it happen. And I love to end the show with give you an opportunity to address the listeners. Anything you want to share, anything you want to share as far as encouragement or any words that you want to leave with my listeners before we get out of here?
Sure. And so it is my greatest joy to always tell people of what Christ has done for them. And so we as Christians, you know, we get knocked around and beaten up by our own sinful flesh, our own sinful decisions, the temptations of the world, as well as the temptations of the devil. It seems like the unholy trinity of our flesh, the devil, and the world have conspired to really knock our faith out of us. Mm-hmm. And they're in which you might say to yourself, or you might hear the devil whisper in your ear, there's just no way you're a Christian because I saw what you did. And I always like to tell people, listen, Christ has died for the ungodly, the scriptures say. And so when the devil reminds you that you are ungodly, you say, yes, this is true. But that is also good news for me because Christ has bled and died for the ungodly. There are no sins that are not bled for and died for by Christ. And so I would always point you again and again that in him there is the forgiveness of sins. Scripture says, blessed is the man against whom the Lord does not count iniquity. And so we be blessed because God has forgotten our sins. They are bled for, died for, and as a result of it, heaven and eternal life are given as a gift. And so we recognize sin for what it is. It is slavery, and we recognize that Christ has set us free from slavery so that we can be forgiven and pardoned, and we have a hope of a new world, all as a gift. So stop striving for it. Relax, believe. And if you're thinking, yeah, but I've sinned, say, yeah, of course you sin. But if we say we have no sin, the scripture says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and forgive us from all unrighteousness. So that being the case, Christ has bled and died for you, forgiven you of all unrighteousness. So relax, believe. You're his son, you're his daughter, and you have the gift of eternal life given to you. So receive it and believe and just relax. That's what I like to say.
I love it. I love it. That is awesome. Thank you again, Chris, for coming on the show. Definitely, definitely appreciate it. That was great words of encouragement, and we're grateful. To the Bar listeners, appreciate you guys tuning in to your favorite podcast, The Bar Podcast, every Tuesday. Make sure you go to thebarpodcast.com. Make sure you go to thebargear.com to get some bar gear. And then make sure you check out Fighting for the Faith. I'll have all the links in the show notes. And until next time, you guys, God bless, and we are out.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.